flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Keeping the numbers down there. Sabres break it. 3-on-2 rush the other way. Could be a 4-on-3. Either way, as Thompson holds it, slides it across for shot. Scores! Yuri Kulik is cool once again. And the Sabres, with 2:04 to go in the third, lead it 4-3.
Late clutch goal for the youngster, Yuri Kulik, his second of the night, his 11th of the season, on a nice feed from Thompson and a bullet of a shot. 4-3, Sabres take the lead there, and they pull it out 4-3, the final here on Rob Ray, Sabres induction night into the Hall of Fame. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center, Brian Colziel with you, Pat Mollicaro here with me as well in the press box. Paul Hamilton is awaiting outside the Sabres dressing room. We'll get some player reaction coming up here, but that right there, that goal from Kulik, our goal of the game tonight, and it's brought to you by our friends at Roswell Park. Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. And if any of our friends are listening from Roswell Park, I know it was a big night down in the Roswell Park suite tonight. We had members of our Odyssey family down there saying hello to them. So if you're listening, there you go. There's our goal of the game from Roswell Park. And Pat, it was a beauty from Yuri Kulik. What a shot.
What was the common thread on 3 of the 4 Sabre goals tonight? The passing was perfect.
Yes, great point.
The stretch pass to spring Kulik for his first goal. Zucker, the give and go with Tuck on the 3-3 goal. And then Tage Thompson across the ice finds Kulik, and the Sabres find a way. It wasn't perfect all night, but when they needed it, the passing was on.
Lindy Ruff has trusted Yuri Kulik here. He's put him in some big spots, and he has been playing on the top line with Tage Thompson. And he's not only getting rewarded with a ton of ice time, Pat, but he's coming up big now. I mean, why is he being called up? Well, his biggest reason is that he can put the puck in the net. We saw two examples of this tonight where he is coming through here, and now he's up to 11 on the season. Sorry, Amherst fans, you're not seeing him in a Rochester uniform anytime soon, or maybe ever again.
Yeah, he is performing. he's up to the task. He's performing well. Nearly had the hat trick. He had just wide of an empty net, and it could have been the third Sabre with a hat trick in two games. So he's playing about as well as he has and contributing offensively, and does not look out of place either. He's not just scoring. You're not having big lapses as a rookie in the league that maybe you would expect.
That's right. Yeah, I think your point about the passing is great. The Sabre goals, those last three you described, were because of the passing that sets it up for sure. 4-3, Buffalo wins it. We'll be heading to the locker room here shortly. Paul Hamilton waiting outside to head in as the Sabres pick up a win here, 4-3. Pat, it was a familiar script. Now, the team tonight came out strong, as they've done all season. They're one of the best teams in terms of scoring first period goals. They're up 2-0, feeding off the energy of Rob Ray's ceremony and the building and the sellout crowd. It was rocking here for a Friday night like, you know, it has a long time ago when they were a winning hockey club. It felt good. But in Sabre fashion, like we see this year, it was a repeating pattern. The two-goal lead turned into a 3-2 deficit at one point there in the second period.
Yeah, and it could have gone really south on the team. Speaking of Kulik, he takes a penalty 15 seconds in the third period, a double minor for high sticking. And in a 3-3 game, it could have gone sideways on the Sabres pretty quickly. But they found a way. Nashville had the puck in the zone. That's one thing about tonight. If you're the Predators, you're going to look at this game and say, we dominated a majority of this game with puck possession. Maybe you didn't blow out the Sabres in shots on goal, but there were times where Nashville was in the zone for a minute at a time, especially on that power play. Sabres killing it off. Zach Benson with a hustle play to a loose puck creates a four-on-four situation because Brady Shea has to take a penalty, and all of a sudden what could have been Nashville momentum turns into an opportunity for the Sabres to build some of their own.
That's right. 4-3, Sabres victorious here. They'll look to make it three in a row after the win on Boston the other night against New Jersey. That's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. We'll be on the air for the pregame show starting at noon. And, Pat, also I want to give a shout-out to Bo Byram. He's been playing like Buffalo's best defenseman here. And tonight, again, his ice time leading the Sabres, 26-19. He has a monster block shot in the final seconds.
Yeah, he's done everything that has been asked of him, and you see how he is just playing about as well and as consistent. I think that's the thing for him, the consistency that he's given this team when others have really been trying to find their way at times has been something that's been very much needed.
All right, live reaction down in the locker room. Here's Alex Tuck with Paul Hamilton.
Alex, it was a streak game. You guys came out really fast, scored a couple, got behind, scored a couple more, win the hockey game. What were the differences in maybe the three phases of the game there?
I don't think we really got down on ourselves too much, even when they got the lead. I thought we had a lot of positivity on the bench. I think we didn't give them too much momentum. I thought we weathered the storm in the second there for a bit, and we were able to capitalize and tie it up late in the second period. They gave us some momentum going into the third, and then I thought we played a really good, solid third period.
You used the word capitalize, and I think that was the difference. You started capitalizing on your chances where you got the third and fourth goals.
Yeah, no, it was great. I thought it was a couple of good line rushes. I think we've been working on that a lot to try to get some more opportunities and get some more pucks on net. I thought our end zone was really good as well. I thought we were utilizing some things that we focused on, and we were getting more shots on that. I think we could have created a little bit more, but I thought, like I said, it was a good third period, and it was a good full game for the most part.
What was it like seeing Yuri just mature before your eyes as an NHL player, let alone as a scorer?
Yeah, no, I think it's both on and off the ice. I think his preparation and day-to-day habits has been really good, I've noticed, and I think it's leading into some success on the ice. He's stepping into a big role, playing with some really skilled guys, and he's capitalizing it and taking advantage of it, and it's been really good.
What do you think is the hustle place today? I'm thinking of Benson chasing a guy down and drawing a penalty, and Bo Byram blocking a shot there in the final seconds.
Yeah, no, especially Byzies, block shots. That was final seconds. I mean, he had several all night. Guy was selling out. He's been selling out a lot lately too, and he really cares, really wants to win, and it's infectious, and it's really good to see. And he's been stepping up and becoming a leader. And then, like you said, Benny, just getting his motor going. And you know what? He's probably not playing as many minutes as he's used to, but he's working hard out there, and it's really noticeable, and it's giving us momentum.
The fans can't see you here, but you got the Rob Ray shirt on, and first of all, what did you think of the ceremony? And I think back, I don't think you would have been old enough to really take in him as a player, but you certainly do as a broadcaster.
Yeah, no, I think I was a little young for Razor there. Mm-hmm. But I remembered all the replays and all the little clips and watching the Sabres games and how highly everyone talked about him. And then coming here and seeing how much not only the organization, but the entire city embraces Razor and loves him, and he loves the city just as much in return. And to see him go in the Hall of Fame, I mean, he's not the flashiest of players, that's for sure. But you know what? Like everyone says, he wore his heart in his sleeve, and he gave everything to the city of Buffalo.
You know, you talked about hardworking plays a couple minutes ago, and they always, you know, they were known as the hardest working team in hockey. I mean, how much can you guys just
you know, take a little of that persona from a night like tonight. And we see the Benson play, the Byron play. There are hard-working plays that need to be made to win games.
Yeah, I think to be able to win more games, we're going to have to do more of it. It's something to really rely on, especially when we have a coach that had that team firsthand. So I think that's something that we can lean on him for, and he's going to try to push us to get that that hard-working out of us.
Do you ever like just chat with Rob about hockey, just to pick his brain?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. He's got some funny stories, probably some that I can't really share. But no, Razor's great. He's a great guy. He's good to have around the guys. He's on the plane, chopping it up. And no, he's it's always funny walking past him on the plane too. He'll always give you a little comment, which is good because that's the old ways too. It's awesome, and have an icon like that. See him around day to day is really cool.
What have you learned from him about the way he's embraced the community and the work he does and, you know, giving back and all that?
Just he's led by example. I mean, you just see, like I said, you see how much the fans and the city supports him. And he doesn't boost himself up. He doesn't say, oh, I did this, I did that. He just goes out and does it. And it's something that's it's incredible. And he really sacrifices both on and off the ice. And yeah, just an all-around unbelievable guy.
Thanks, Alan. So, Alex talking on the post game, and I have Rasmus Dahlin across the way here, so I will make my way over there. Rasmus, you have your Rob Ray shirt here. Before we talk about the hockey game, let's talk about Rob Ray. He's been around since you've been here. You, of course, never saw him play. But what do you think he's meant to Buffalo and even you since you've gotten to know him?
You've heard so many great things about him. He's the stereotype of a Buffalonian and a Buffalo Saber. I have so much respect for him, and you need a guy like that in your life. So I'm happy to chat with him every day, and he's an unbelievable human being.
We talk about the hockey game. It went your way to start. I mean, you tipped a puck that wound up in the net. McLeod was right there. You made a good stretch pass to get Kulik in. Then you gave up three goals, and then you scored two more. I mean, it seemed like the work ethic did not end, even when you got behind. And that's really some hardworking plays got you a couple of goals, and at the end blocked you a few shots to win a hockey game.
Yeah, that's what it takes. I mean, if you're down one goal or whatever, coming into the third, or it doesn't matter. Game is 60 minutes, and that's what we did today. You know, we got to continue to build on this. We're playing good now with puck control. It wasn't pretty for 60, but we found a way, and that's what it takes in this league.
What happened that you went from two up two to down three, and then to turn it around and get up again?
You also got to give credit to Nashville. They played a good offensive game. They were heavy on pucks in the corners, and they worked their bag off. So, but we were patient, and then lucky we have Kulik on our team.
What were you guys able to do in the third period to get through the neutral zone? That was the main issue in the second.
I felt more that we couldn't even get out our own end. But in the third, we... you know, we took charge, played with the puck, and weren't stressing. We just kept playing.
What's watching happen right now with Yuri, his maturation?
He's unbelievable. I think he's going to be one of the best in the league. At that age he is right now and doing the stuff he's doing out there, it's pretty special. It's fun to watch, honestly. He's unbelievable.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the post game. And you just got to go back across the room again, so I will stay with you here, Brian. And we will have Yuri Kulik. Yuri, take us through the game-winning goal, if you would. It's a 3-on-2. Take us, the way you saw it and how you finished it.
I was just skating, and JJ with Dahmer did a great job. Dahmer didn't just find me, and my job was just put it on the net.
Do you feel if you're going to get a chance like that, and more times than not, that's going in the net?
I don't know. To be honest, the goalies are great, so sometimes it's pretty hard to beat them.
Disappointed you didn't get your hat trick? You certainly had the opportunity.
I'm always so stressed when I got empty net that far.
How come? Why are you stressed?
I don't know. I have to skate right to the net and just, you know, put it there. But, today is a pretty special day. My parents are here for the first time, so I hope they enjoy the game.
Well, considering you won and got two goals, I would think they've enjoyed the game, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And we won, so they probably going to celebrate. So, yeah.
Before you came to Buffalo, you probably didn't know too much about Rob Ray from where you're from, and you're a young guy. You didn't see him play. But you got to know him a little bit. You know how he is. He kind of keeps things light and everything. Do you enjoy being around him?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know who he is, but from the first time I met him, he's a great guy. He was always so kind for me and helping me in tough losses. So yeah.
Fun to see him honored like that.
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed the Hall of Fame thing. So great career.
You look up to Tage. He's somebody that you really respect. What's it mean to you to be on the same line with him right now and have success that you guys are having right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable to play with those guys, and especially with Tomer. He's not just a great player, but amazing person too. So he's helping me a lot with on the ice or off the ice too.
You guys got the lead, and then you got behind, and then you got the 4-minute penalty, but you killed it off, you know, and that seemed to be the thing that maybe got you guys going again, didn't it, to be able to kill that penalty off. What was the difference, did you think, from when you took the lead, lost the lead, and then won the game?
I mean, the difference was the second period wasn't good enough. We should put the puck more deep and don't do turnovers on the blue line, but hell of a job by OP. He saved us a lot, and the PK guys for the 4 minutes, that was a hell of a job too.
Thank you, Yuri. Yuri Kulik on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, good stuff from the locker room. We appreciate it. We hear there from the number one star of this one, Yuri Kulik. Two goals, including the game winner with 2:04 to go as the Sabres win it 4-3. Back up here in the press box, Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro. We'll get Paul's take in a little bit. We'll hear from Lindy Ruff coming up shortly, so stay with us right here on the postgame. And also a little bit later on in the postgame, if you're listening in your car here, we'll have some Rob Ray post-ceremony reaction. He did a Q&A with the media after his ceremony tonight. So I'm guessing if you're in your car and you were in the building for the ceremony, you didn't get to hear this. So we'll have that. We'll also have Paul's interview with Ryan Miller and Brad May. Those are coming up too here as we celebrate Rob Ray's big night. And if you are in your car on your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kickoff 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. 4-3 Buffalo victorious, two in a row. They'll look to make it three straight Sunday afternoon against New Jersey. That is a 1 p.m. puck drop. I'll be on the air at noon for the pregame show here on our flagship WGR. And, of course, if you want to listen at any point postgame or those pregame shows, you can get it on the Odyssey app or at WGR550.com. We'll read some tweets as well. You can send them in at Brian WGR as we'll get connected with our fans in a little bit here as well. And that's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. All right, while we wait for Lindy Ruff, let's get some final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third were 11-8 Buffalo. The Predators overall, though, win in that category at the end of the night, 31-27. In net, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, the win, 28 saves. And the three stars, just Jason Zucker with a goal. Pretty give and go with Alex Tuck that tied it at three. He's star number three. Rasmus Dahlin, two assists, star number two. And Yuri Kulik, two goals, including the game winner. He is star number one in front of 18,347 tonight here at KeyBank Center. Individually, Bo Byram led the way with ice time, 26-19, just playing outstanding hockey as of late. Four block shots to lead in that category amongst both teams. He had two shots on goal and credited with a hit, playing 29 shifts in this game. We mentioned Dahlin. He just right behind Byram, 25-39 of ice time. He also had three block shots, so seven combined block shots between Byram and Dahlin in this game tonight. Kulik, a two-point night with two goals. Dahlin, a two-point night with the two assists. So there are some of your stats. Let's also talk about the power plays in this one. Both teams 0 for the night, 0 for 2 for Buffalo, 0 for 3 for Nashville, but a big kill, as Paul asked Yuri Kulik about that. Kulik goes 4 minutes, double minor for high sticking, 15 seconds into the third period. And that obviously could have been a spot where maybe Nashville takes control of the game. Buffalo's penalty kill coming through big in that spot. It's your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. All right, Lindy Ruff here coming up in just a few moments. The Sabres with a 4-3 victory. And, you know, some thoughts here just on Rob Ray night here. We know, you know, we've got to know Rob quite a bit well here from being a part of the Sabres broadcast team. And he's up here, obviously, in the press box quite a bit. And I would agree with everything that the players have said. Rob is great to talk to. I've learned a lot of hockey from him. The fun part about Rob, though, is that, you know, he comes up here and is ready to have a good time and have fun. I think his message about doing that with his team is something that his team, that the current team, should probably take note of. All right, more on that in a minute. Here's Lynn.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy Ruff live.
Run through that hockey game.
You know, I think you look at the second goal, kind of a fortunate alley-ooper, but I thought they gained momentum in the second period. They were out skating us through the neutral zone. We weren't getting pucks deep. When you don't get pucks deep, you've been out there 15, 20 seconds, it goes the other way, you see what happens. You end up playing in your own end, you play tired, and you don't go now. I don't think one time in the third period we got caught in that situation. Pucks went deep. We got them back. I thought we had like 5 or 6 really good opportunities. I thought their guy made a couple of really good saves, and I thought we pretty well cleaned up most of the defensive stuff on our end.
He's obviously brimming with confidence. How do you see that confidence on the ice? It seems like with this shot, he's just, you know, so eager to use it. Just what do you?
Yeah, well, it's nice to have a line that, you know, if we're almost 90% of the time we get a face-off and we get it down there on that left side, we put that line out, and to see them get rewarded for how they're playing, great to see. I thought, you know, another big night for those guys, and Murray would have shot that one in the empty net. He would have taken a little stress off, too, that last 9 seconds.
He said that it was the first time his parents got to see him play in the NHL. It's a nice time to come and see him score 2 goals.
Yeah, they should be proud of the way he played. He played a heck of a game. I thought he outlegged him a couple times. His play in his own end for a young centerman was really good. And just the, you know, the play Tomer makes on that little delay bought a little time for him to get backside was just a heck of a goal and a good night for Razor.
How encouraging is it for you to see the decisiveness and decision-making offensively just paying off because these guys are making better passes to set each other up?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that. When your passing is off that little bit, you don't look connected. I mean, and part of it is skating. part of it is skating away from the puck. I mean, you got to skate. And then some of it is execution, just making the right play at the right time.
Talk about Razor, and he was on that. People remember hardworking teams, and you see tonight Byron blocks a shot right at the end. Benson wipes out that power play, you know, rushing down the ice. How much can your players take some lessons from the night and just continue to grind hockey games maybe more than they have and do it in some of the fashion we saw tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think improving our third periods is just a really big deal. Solving, you know, when the other team comes with a lot of pressure is a big deal. Blocking a shot is a really big deal. You know, I think all I talked about after the game was what Razor was, and he was the ultimate team player. And on a night like this, to win that way and have really what I felt was a really good team game, you got to feel good about it. I think Razor's job was a lot tougher than any job these guys had tonight. Unless one of those guys wants to try what he had to do all the time.
How important is it for your group and just as you guys are building here, Lindy, for Bo to emerge as a guy that you can really trust to play 25 minutes a night? And he's played really well with Rasmus. They've been the kind of the pair that you were looking for at the start of the season.
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, if you looked at, you know, some of our battles, some of the goals we lost, the battles started in the corner. When you lose those battles, we didn't get possession. I think where Bo has gotten better is his defending. He's been harder defending. You know, I think the one play the guy got away from him in the second period, you know, on the breakaway, I think where UPL made some good saves. But I think he understands. He understands the defending part is really important, too. It's not just about playing offense. But I thought those guys had a good night. I thought Dahl's got off to a great start, made a lot of good plays. And, you know, when your top pair has a game like that, you should win hockey games.
How did you feel about the ceremony for Rob?
I thought the ceremony was fantastic. I think I've said this. I'm proud of the way he's handled. I mean, the way he handled tonight was his speech was fantastic. Just with all his former teammates around, I think it just tells you how much he meant to the team. And what a great night. To win the game was big. You want to make it a good night. It was a good night. To make it a great night is winning the game. And now, you know, he can really enjoy this next couple hours and then get back to work tomorrow.
You coached a lot of these players that came back there. Was it nice for you to be able to see some of them too?
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, catch up, you know, even after tonight, which it can be a possibility. But it'd be great to see some of them for sure, and answer probably 1,000 questions about where we're at.
Thanks, Lindy.
All right, there is the always entertaining after games, Lindy Ruff in wins and losses, and even on a special night like tonight, Lindy Ruff's post-game comments here. As we bring it back up here live to the press box, Brian Colzio with you. Sabres victorious 4-3 over Nashville. Two straight wins, a nice 7-2 blowout of the Bruins with two hat tricks. And now tonight, as Lindy Ruff said, the ultimate team game on a night where he's told them that Rob Ray was the ultimate team player. It wasn't perfect for 60 minutes for sure. There were some times where the Sabres got pinned in their own end. There was the classic repeat mode of a theme we've seen this year. A 2-0 lead, a multi-goal lead that evaporates and quickly turns into a 2-2 game that eventually early second turned into a 3-2 deficit. But for a team that a lot of times has not recovered from that during the season, you got to give them credit for tonight to figuring out a way to not only tie it but win it. And look who does it. It's the youngster. It's Kulik. He gets the opportunity. A lot of times this year the Sabres have had the opportunity. They've not been able to finish. And Kulik's shot is a weapon, for sure. We saw it in both of his goals here. All right, for all of our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you. Hope you enjoyed our coverage of Rob Ray's ceremony and the game. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can do it. You can listen on the Odyssey app or at WGR550.com. And for all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on WGR, if you're sitting in your car in traffic on your way home, thanks for listening. 4-3, Sabres win it. I'm Brian Colziel. When we come back, we'll get Paul Hamilton's take, more highlights, and then more of the special night with Rob Ray. We'll have Paul's conversations with Ryan Miller and Brad May and Rob Ray's Q&A after his ceremony. That's all coming up later on the postgame as we roll on from KeyBank Center. 4-3, Sabres victorious on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Bouncing puck, these could often be trouble. Evangelista trying to make it. What a stop by Luukkonen. Oh, boy. He just kept that pad there as long as he could. And this game remains tied at 3. McLeod back the other way.
Impressive save from Luukkonen. He reaches out, gets the toe on it. Otherwise, that would have been a 4-3 lead for Nashville in the third period. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you. 4-3, Buffalo victorious on Rob Ray induction to the Sabres Hall of Fame night. We will continue to celebrate Rob's night here and get you some more coverage of it. We will have coverage coming up here. We'll hear from Brad May, who introduced Rob tonight. We'll hear from Ryan Miller, who officially made him a member by giving him the sword. And then we'll also hear Rob Ray, who had a Q&A with the media after his ceremony tonight. So we'll have Brad Ray, Ryan Miller, Rob Ray all coming up here at the end of the postgame. And I know many of you in your car who were in the building tonight obviously wouldn't get a chance to hear what Rob thought about it because he went into the media room afterwards and then went into the suite. So I think you'll enjoy that thought coming up. Also, always good to hear from Ryan Miller. We'll have him and Brad May. Two, we'll get the scoreboard coming up here shortly. But let's go down to the media room and bring in Paul Hamilton. Well, the script looked all too familiar. A good start, a multi-goal lead that all of a sudden was a deficit. But the Sabres found a way to win. That has not been a similar script.
Yeah, and today wasn't like we've seen a lot. Buffalo blocked 16 shots. Nashville had 62 shot attempts on Buffalo, but they had 31. Only half of them hit the net, where Buffalo only, you know, they had 27 hit the net and 19 that didn't. So they had, you know, 10 that they missed the net. The one thing that I think would probably, you know, Lindy Ruff talked about things that he didn't like. You know what I bet if I cornered him on it that he hated was after it became 2-2, Tage Thompson had a one-timer from the left circle. I'm not sure if it got stopped or if he missed the net, but he had half the net to shoot at, and he didn't score. Now, that's the guy you want there. I mean, if you could set it up, and he just ripped it, and there was a golden opportunity to get your lead back right away, right after Nashville had tied the game at 2. You know, it was a golden opportunity where, you know, he loads it up, and it was near the end of the first period, and he doesn't score. And that missing the net like that or not capitalizing on those opportunities is the stuff that really bugs Lindy Ruff. And then they wound up getting behind 3-2 because the second period wasn't the best. Although there were times, you know, I thought they worked hard. Yeah, they did lose some battles, but you know, with 16 block shots, Bo Byram had 4 of them, none bigger than, you know, they win the draw, guess who? And, you know, there's 7 seconds left, and they're standing there with the puck is Philip Forsberg, their most talented goal scorer. He's over on the left side, top of the circle, and next thing you know, down goes Bo Byram, and he blocks the shot with 5 seconds or less left on the clock. And they're able to win the hockey game. That's the type of thing you need to win hockey games. You know, get desperate. Play a good third period. All right, you played a bad second period. Don't crumble. All right, you're now, you know, you got yourself down 3-2. But before the period was over, you did, you know, you get a nice play from Tuck and Zucker. And you score the goal to tie it. You know, but even when it was 3-2, 2:51 into the second period, don't panic. All right, you're down a goal. You give up goals in the National Hockey League. Guess what? So do other teams. Keep playing. And, you know, they eventually got back to their game, especially in the third period. And that was a nice goal by Zucker that they generated and capitalized on the opportunity. And that was a great 3-on-2 by Peterka to Thompson to Kulik to win the hockey game at 17:56 of the third period. That's the way you execute. You come up fast. You know, you have Thompson coming up the right side. You have Peterka coming in the middle with speed. Lindy Ruff likes to talk about this. Now, when he's coming with speed like that, he makes the defenseman make a decision. Do I stay with Thompson on the right, or do I grab Peterka coming down the middle? He's got to make a decision. Now you've stressed that defenseman out. And now Thompson, he decided to come with Peterka. That leaves Thompson with the puck. That leaves a speedy Kulik going to the net. Perfect pass. And you give Kulik that kind of opportunity more times than not. It's in your net. I mean, the kid now has 11 goals, and he's on his way the way he's playing. Playing the way, you know, they thought he could play when they drafted him. They were shocked that he was still there at the end of the first round. They were genuine. I know some teams say that a lot, but they were genuinely shocked. And they felt they got a steal there, and we don't know. I mean, the kid's still too young to know that. He does have 11 goals now in the National Hockey League. He didn't score when he first got down, but they moved him to center, and now he's flying. You know, it's trending that way. I think we can say that.
For sure. Paul, one more follow-up on Kulik there. We know he's talented. We know he's got the shot. We've seen him doing with the Amerks. But to do it in that moment, it's 3-3. It's a pressure spot. This Sabre team, for years, have not been able to handle the moment. They've not wanted the puck on their stick in a pressure spot. Again, it's very, very early on in his NHL tenure, as you said. But it seems like he's not shying away from the moment. Like, he's able to finish that off. He was very nonchalant about even taking credit for it after the game. He's like, yeah, you know, they made a great play to get it to me. I just shot it in. But for a team that a lot of times doesn't handle the pressure moment there or want the puck in that moment, I think that's a good sign.
And I feel bad for the kids because his parents came to see their first NHL game, and he almost had a hat trick. I mean, 99 times out of 100, he's going to score there with an empty net. I mean, if you say, all right, who do you want with the empty net? You're going to say Thompson, Kulik, or Tuck. And Kulik was the guy, and he missed the empty net that he won't miss very often. I'm sure they were ecstatic that they got to see him score two goals, including the game winner. But I'm sure they would have loved to have seen his first National Hockey League hat trick also.
Yes. Paul, I want to read a tweet before we get off of Kulik here. As we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. At Buffalo Sabres 07 says, where do you think Kulik ideally lines up in this lineup? Next year, top six? Paul, right now he's playing with Tage Thompson, so he's in a good spot. Where do you see Kulik maybe? Is there a long-term vision for him, or is where he's at is the spot for him?
Right now, I think where he's at. I mean, he's performing better than any of the rest of the centermen by far. So there would be no reason to move him. Now, you know how the National Hockey League is. You know, you wind up changing lines, and, you know, that's how Thompson wound up on the right wing again. He was injured, and he couldn't play center. And then all of a sudden it started working out. And McLeod got hurt, so now it's Kulik's turn. And he came back from injury. The game he came back from injury is the game McLeod went out with injury, and Kulik has looked great ever since. And, you know, so really I don't think there would be any reason to take him off of there except, you know, during a season lines are juggled. But in the end, they usually will go back to what works the best, and I think they're going to find that's what works the best. And that's why I talk about I would be the same thing. You know, Kevin Adams is not shopping Dylan Cousins. People call and ask about Dylan Cousins. Well, he's not going to hang up the phone. He's going to listen to what people have to say, and that's the way I would approach it. Because if there becomes a trade that can really, if I were, you know, running the Buffalo Sabres, then that I felt really could help the team, and I have to trade Dylan Cousins, I'm not looking to trade him. I know he's playing under what we think he can play, but I think there's still plenty of time to get there. But if you would have to trade him, even if you didn't get a center back, you've got, you know, a guy like Kulik. You've got Thompson, you could always put back at center. You've got Hellenius, who they love down in Rochester. You got Austlin, who is a number one pick, who is also a centerman. You've got other guys who are high picks. So, you know, if it makes all of a sudden something comes along and it makes sense, well, maybe you got to bite the bullet and do it, even though maybe you don't want to do it, just because you've drafted where you have other guys that are coming. And Kulik would be in that conversation, even if it's Pettersson. Now, with JT Miller getting traded by the Canucks, I would say Pettersson's probably not going to be moved. And he told the Canucks he does not want to be traded, but let's say it was a deal that they couldn't refuse. And he came here. Okay, well, if Dylan Cousins goes the other way, you've still got Pettersson, you still got Kulik, you still have Hellenius in training, and you still have Ostlund in training. You know, so there are other options that you would have if you can improve your club with a trade like that. But, you know, I keep saying he's not looking to trade him, but if somebody calls and mentions his name, it would be, all right, tell me what you're thinking.
Paul, I want to finish with a thought on Rob Ray, but before we do that, one more tweet here from @InfoCenter24. He mentioned Bo Byram and just says, Byram must remain a Sabre for a long time. Paul, he led the team in ice time again tonight, over 26 minutes, four block shots, including that monster one that you mentioned at the end. Just Byram's progression here. Lindy Ruff said part of his progression is defense as well as offense that he's been focusing on.
Yeah, and there are nights he's their best defenseman. Dahlin had some really nice plays in the first period, but you want to talk overall? I think Bo Byram is their best defenseman again in this game. He had the one slip up in the second period, but nobody's going to be perfect. And if it came down to a trade too, I am definitely not down on Owen Power. He's still a young kid. I've watched defensemen like Dahlin, like Hedman, like Carlson, who were really bad hockey players to start for like their first 3 years and then became superstars. So, you know, I'm not down on Owen Power at all, but if it got down to it where I had to part with a defenseman again to get a fantastic trade for a top six forward that, you know, is 100 points and 30 some odd goals and whatever, I'd trade Power before I trade Byram. I really would. If I had to make the decision where you want one over the other, I'm going with Bo Byram.
And I know, you know, on paper, it would look like, oh, my goodness, you'd want to trade the number one overall pick Owen Power. But, I mean, Byram was fourth overall, so it's not like his resume is poor.
And he's won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
you know, and just the way he's playing. And look at the way he's improved block shots just before our very eyes this year. He's great at it now.
Yeah.
You know, not that he wasn't good at it before, but, you know, you're constantly seeing him go down and blocking big shots.
We're going to hear from Brad May. We're going to hear from Ryan Miller. And we're going to hear Rob Ray's Q&A after the ceremony. But, Paul, let's give you a word here on Rob's night. I know you know him well, too, as a fellow broadcaster and now a friend. And it's, you know, I know you always talk about it. It's so great we get to hang out with Rob up here, up in the press box, and you get to see him on the road. What did this night mean in terms of how you view Rob Ray?
I'm glad he had such a good night, and the fans showed him how they feel about him. And I think he knew it. Well, I know he knew it. But, you know, you don't want to be arrogant. I mean, he's the last person is going to be arrogant about being Rob Ray or being an NHL player or any of those things. You're just not going to see that from him. So, you know, he is humble. He will do anything for anybody. He is great in the community. I mean, I remember Ryan Miller was great in the community. He too is, you know, will do anything. And that's the thing. He doesn't want people to give him praise, you know, that's certainly is, that's just Rob Ray all written all over it. He just, when it's time to do it, you go do it.
Well said. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your work tonight. We look forward to hearing some more of your conversations with the Sabre players. And we'll see you here Sunday, noon pregame with the Devils game at 1 o'clock.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame down in the media room as we bring it back up here to the press box. 4-3 Buffalo over Nashville. Yes, Jersey is next on Sunday as the Sabres will look to make it 3 in a row. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Brian.
I'm going to get you the scoreboard here.
Yeah, light night in the league.
Yeah, very, very light night. I know we also saw the highlight of the dramatic ending in the game at the Kessler Center between Niagara and Canisius. I know you got details on that, so let's get to it here as we go around the league.
It's all brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. Two games still ongoing in the league tonight, including Colorado thrashing St. Louis. Jonathan Drouin, a couple of goals. Cale Makaris, 19th. Martin Natchez, a goal as well. 4-0 Avalanche over the Blues, just about to go to the second intermission after two in Utah. Nick Schmaltz, 11th of the year, the only goal scored between the Utah Hockey Club and Columbus. The Blue Jackets trail 1-0. And the big trade announced a couple of hours ago, JT Miller, originally drafted by the Rangers, reacquired by the Blue Shirts tonight from the Canucks in a deal that saw a couple of players go back the other way, including Philip Hedl. The Canucks fall to Dallas tonight, 5-3. Also some news from the NHL earlier today, the league and the Players Association with an announcement of the potential salary cap ceiling and floor, at least for the next year, and the projections for the couple of years following. Next year, an expected increase of $7.5 million, where the upper limit of the cap will be about $95.5 million, the lower limit, $70.6 million. And in a couple of years, the cap could go all the way up to $113.5 million. Again, that's a projection and based on potential new CBA as well. Brian, you mentioned the score at the Kessler Athletic Center tonight. First battle of the bridge on the men's side goes the way of the Purple Eagles. Niagara with a 64-63 win over the Golden Griffins. Canisius led a majority of the game. Niagara leading at the end, including with that 64-63 victory for the third conference win of the year. Also in local college hockey action, Sacred Heart is able to upend the Purple Eagles up at Dwyer Arena with a couple of goals, one in the second, one in the third. Again, the Purple Eagles fall 3-2 in that contest as well.
All right, Pat, thank you very much. Yeah, good night to be here. I know, you know, we obviously work 41 home games plus here. We hope there's playoffs. We know we haven't gotten those in a while, but there's always nights like this. We get a couple of them every year where we remember, hey, this is a fun night and a fun night to have our job, and tonight was one of those.
It was, and, you know, Rob Ray, somebody that we've all come to know, you know, both of us growing up here in Western New York, we saw what Rob Ray did on the ice as a player. And now getting to know him a little bit off the ice as well. And, you know, even filling in for Paul on the road a couple of times. I know one time I traveled with the team out west, and the game was in Vegas, and the promos being read about Paul Hamilton being on the his interviews with the players and everything, and they pan to me, and Rob tells the audience, "Don't worry, Mrs. Malacaro, Pat was in bed. Plenty of time here in Vegas." And my phone starts exploding with text messages from friends who are saying, "You're in Vegas and you were in bed at midnight last night."
Yes.
But what they don't know is at the end of that road trip, Rob Ray and Dan Dunleavy as well made sure that I felt welcomed and a part of the group as well when I didn't travel with them normally, and just going to dinner and getting time to, you know, not be by myself on the road trip. So that's the side of Rob Ray that maybe fans don't get to see as much, and in something that I do very value so much that he and Dan took the time to make sure that I was a part of the group.
Yeah, Rob does take care of you in that sense. And, you know, when Rob's up here yelling at me because I took the extra chocolate chip cookie off of the press meal row here, I know that's his way of saying, you know, hey, you know, it's kind of his way of giving you the fist pound, like, hey, nice to see you, Brian.
Right. You know, if Rob's kidding around with you, yeah, generally speaking, he likes you. So, yeah, that's always fun to see him up here and trade jabs with him.
That's right. And it was a really, really impressive list of players and alums and former teammates that were down on the ice tonight.
Yeah, it really goes to show you the history, even though, you know, we know the drought the team is on right now. Some of the great players, and you see someone like Jim Lorenz, who was a good player and great broadcaster here with the team. Just even players that predated some of us as well, and teammates that maybe aren't in the Hall of Fame. But I thought it was a really nice speech by Brad May helping to induct Rob into the Hall of Fame tonight.
Yeah, we're going to hear Brad May here in just a few minutes, but he mentioned Kenny Sutton was here. We heard Jason Woolley during the first intermission. He was there. And then, you know, even some of the Sabre greats, Ryan Miller was here, Danny Gare was here. Just, you know, it's awesome to see the alumni and the support. It makes you want to remember the times when the team was good. And, you know, as everybody in the building tonight hoping for, and, you know, you and I, we would love to be broadcasting playoff games. You know, let's, you know, for as much as, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, this has got to be changed, and this guy's got to be fired, and this guy's got to be traded, and oh my God, they blew another, believe us, like, believe, we would much be rather sitting here getting ready to preview game one of a playoff series.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point as well. I think whether it's RJ Knight and his name going in the rafters, Ryan Miller jersey retirement, Hall of Fame, now Rob Ray's Sabres Hall of Fame induction. Sabres done a really nice job these last couple of years with all the different ceremonies and bringing it's not easy.
Yeah.
To the logistics of bringing families and former players and bringing everybody together and making it such a special night. And I know, you know, just seeing some of the pictures, even as fans walked in the concourse, they could get a picture with an exhibit out there as well. So just a really nice job, I think, overall that the team has done with these nights. And the team has responded and the fans have responded on these nights over these last handful of years.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, Rob certainly, when we saw the highlights on the video board here tonight, may have given some players some injuries. Good transition here to our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. Only one injury right now for the Sabres. It's Jordan Greenway. He remains on long-term reserve. All right, Pat, we'll see you here Sunday for the Devils.
Can't wait.
All right. Buffalo, of course, started the season in Prague with two losses to New Jersey. Two games they'd like to forget about in terms of the result, but a chance to bounce back against the Devils here as they open up the February portion of the schedule. In fact, Pat, next week, Sabres have three games, two at home against New Jersey and Columbus, which will be Tuesday night, and then they finish Saturday against the same Nashville team on the road, but then a two-week break.
Yeah, normally this weekend is the All-Star break, but with the Four Nations.
Yeah, normally the All-Star game in the NHL coincides with the Pro Bowl events or whatever.
Yeah, the weekend between the Super Bowl, so you have clear sailing in that, but with the Four Nations tournament coming up, and every team still gets that five-day bye week as well, it pairs up so that we will not see Sabres action here at KeyBank Center for 18 days between February 4th and the 22nd. Light month overall, but it just feels that much more barren with that basically over two-week home break.
Yeah, so we're done with January games. Only six games in February. So
four at home, two on the road.
Yeah, and then it piles up heavily in March where most of the weeks they're playing four and six nights.
I get that with this two-week break, things are different. But there's just something, as somebody who has watched the sport growing up my entire life, there's too much. The regular season is extended too far.
Yes.
Now that the NHL actually finishes after the NBA, you know the season's at least needs to be a little bit more condensed.
When they start ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a two-week break coming up, but you just look at the Sabres schedule. Just look at the map. The roadmap of the schedule, where how many times early in the year they had 3 days off. And I know that changes things, but really the regular season shouldn't be ending in the third week of April.
Yeah, the playoffs are not going to start until the final full week of April.
That's too long.
Right, which means the Stanley Cup is going to go, it could go to July.
Late June, right.
Or if you get like a lot of game sevens in series that maybe they have to wait for the next round to start and things like that. Yeah, it's. I mean, the Sabres, regardless of if they move anywhere in the standings, they're still going to be playing hockey on April 17th.
That should be game four of round one.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be a long, long stretch there. Yeah, March is just absolutely jam-packed, as is April for the 3 weeks that the season will continue there. Well, Buffalo's win tonight, they hit win 20 in 51 games. Still, obviously, a lot of work to do in the standings. They're now five points back of Pittsburgh. They do have two games in hand on the Penguins, two games in hand on the Flyers, so those are the two teams that are next to pass. They have to pass not only those two, but one, two, three, four, five, six more if they're going to get into a playoff spot that's currently being held by Columbus. The Blue Jackets enter tonight 12 points better. If you are on the Super Dreamland cloud right now and you want to keep watching these other games because you think they have impact on the standings, well, Columbus, you want them to lose tonight. They're down 1-0 here heading to the third in Utah.
Yeah, and look at the Flyers just made a trade yesterday.
And the Rangers made a trade that you just talked about, a huge one there.
So teams are making moves around you, and I'm not saying in the context of you need Kevin Adams to make a move, but teams are doing things right now because you've got that gap coming up and time to really have a player settle in. You've got 2 months with that player, so teams are deciding, let's not wait around. Let's do something now, and teams are.
Yeah, I mean, they're not waiting until the trade deadline to do it. A lot of the teams that are in this mix right now have made moves this year. You know, Pittsburgh's being rumored every day, but the Flyers already have. The Rangers already have. So we'll see what some of these other teams do that are in this wild card race in the East. While the Sabres, as of this moment, the Sabres, we know, have been in the Elias Pettersson kind of trade talk. Well, his teammate JT Miller gets moved tonight. We'll see if maybe that quiets that or not.
Yeah, and that's a situation out there in Vancouver where this year has gone backwards for them. And they seem like they're a franchise recently that they take one step forward and then take one or two steps back. And Travis Green, who was the coach before when the team was playing well, is now leading Ottawa to what is somewhat of a surprise. I don't think anybody had them at third place in their bingo card this late in the year, and he's taken that team to a good spot.
That's right. Thank you, Pat, for your work tonight.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, well, we want to continue to celebrate Rob Ray night here and hear from a couple of his former teammates, and then Rob himself will finish off our postgame. So we're going to hear from Brad May as he reflects on Rob Ray's night, then Ryan Miller, and then Rob Ray's Q&A that he did with the media, including our very own Paul Hamilton, after the ceremony was over tonight. So Sabres win it by a score of 4-3 over Nashville as Buffalo gets a win to close out January. But next, let's hear from one of Rob's best friends. Here is Brad May after the ceremony tonight.